Machmed, pages 141 to 146. Izmir, Turkey, 2015, 11 days from home. God help us, that is what we're supposed to ride in? Machmed's father said. The boat wasn't a boat, it was a raft. A black inflatable rubber dinghy with an outboard motor on the back. It looked like there was room for a dozen people in it. 30 refugees waited to get on board. They all looked as tired as Machmed felt and wore different colored life jackets. They were mostly young men, but there were families too. Women with and without hijabs, other children who looked to be about Machmed's age. One boy in a Barcelona soccer jersey didn't have a life jacket, but clung instead to a blown-up rubber inner tube. A few of the other refugees had backpacks and plastic bags full of clothes, but most of them, like Machmed's family, carried whatever they owned in their pockets. Let's go, one of the smugglers said. 250,000 Syrian pounds, or 1,000 euros a person. Children pay full price, including babies, he told Machmed's father. There were two more Turks in tracksuits, like the ones who had turned them away from the mall, and they stood apart, staring at refugees like they were something disgusting that just washed up on the beach. Their scowls made Machmed want to disappear again. Dad handed out their life jackets, and they put them on. Mom stared at the black dinghy bobbing in the gray-black Mediterranean seawater. She grabbed her husband's arm. What are we doing, Yosef? Is this the right decision? We have to get to Europe, he said. What choice do we have? God will guide us. Machmed watched his father as he pushed the cash they'd saved into the hands of one of the smugglers. Then Machmed and his family followed his dad to the dinghy and they climbed on board. Walid and his mother sat down on the bottom of the dinghy, his mother holding Hannah tight in her arms. Machmed and his father sat on one of the inflated rubber edges, their backs to the sea. Machmed was already cold and the wind of the waves was making him shiver. The big bearded man, wearing a plaid shirt and bulky blue life jacket, sat down right next to Machmed, almost squeezing Machmed's right off the edge. Machmed slid a little closer to his father, but the big man next to him just settled into the extra space. How long will we be on the boat? Machmed asked his dad. Just a few hours, I think. It was hard to tell on the phone. Machmed nodded. The phones and chargers were safely sealed in plastic bags in his parents' pockets, just in case they got wet. Machmed knew because he'd been the one who dug through the trash for the resealable zipper bags. We don't have to get all the way to the Greek mainland, Dad said, just to the Greek island off Lesbos, about 100 kilometers away. Then we're officially in Europe and we can take a ferry from there to Athens. When the smugglers had packed the dinghy full of refugees, they sent it out to sea. None of the smugglers came with them. If the refugees were going to get to Lesbos, they were going to have to do it themselves. Does anyone know if dinner is served on this cruise? Machmed's father asked, and there was a few nervous laughs. The outboard motor roared to life, and the refugees cheered and cried. Dad hugged Machmed and then reached down to hug Mom, Walid, and Hannah. We are finally doing it. They're finally leaving Turkey for Europe. Machmed looked around in wonder. None of this seemed real. He began to feel like if they were never going to leave. Machmed had been so tired he could barely keep his eyes open before, but now the thrum of the motor and the chop of the boat as it hit the wave after wave flooded him with adrenaline, and he couldn't have slept if he wanted to. The lights of Izmir dwindled to a glittering dots behind them, and soon they were in the dark, rough waters of the Mediterranean. Phone screens glowed in the darkness, passengers checking to see if they could tell where they were. The roar of the engine, the whip blinding sea spray made it impossible to have any kind of conversation, so Machmed looked around at the other passengers instead. Most of them kept their heads down and their eyes closed, either muttering prayers or trying not to get sick, or both. The dinghy began to toss, not just in front, but back, to side, the sort of rolling motion, and Machmed felt the bile rise in the back of his throat. On the other side of the dinghy, a man shifted quickly to vomit over the side. Watch out for Coast Guard, the big man said next to Machmed over the noise. Turks will take us back to Turkey, but the Greeks will take us to Lesbos. Machmed didn't know how anybody could see anything in the dark, cloud-covered night, but it helped his seasickness to look outside instead of in the boat. It didn't help his growing sense of panic, though. He couldn't see land anymore, just stormy gray waves that were getting taller and narrower, like they were driving a boat through the spiky tent tops of the Kili refugee camp. More people leaned over the side to throw up, and Machmed felt his stomach turn, and then the rain began. It was a hard, cold rain that plastered Machmed's hair to his head and soaked him to his socks. The rain began to collect in the bottom of the dinghy, and soon Machmed's mother and the others were sitting in centimeters of shifting water. Machmed's muscles began to ache and shiver from holding the same tight position for so long, and he wanted nothing more than to get off this boat. We should turn back, someone yelled. No, we can't go back. We can't afford to try again, Machmed's father yelled, and the chorus of voices agreed with him. They pushed on through the driving rain and rolling seas for what felt like an eternity. It might have been 10 hours or 10 minutes, Machmed didn't know. All he knew was that he wanted it to end and end now. this was worse than Aleppo, worse than the bombs falling and soldiers shooting and drones buzzed overhead. In Aleppo, at least, you could run, hide. Here, he was at the mercy of nature, an invisible brown speck in an invisible black rubber dinghy in the middle of a great black sea. If he wanted to, the ocean could open its mouth and swallow him, and no one in the whole world would ever know he was gone. And then, that's exactly what it did. "I see rocks," someone said at the front of the dinghy, and there was a loud boom, like a bomb exploding, and Mohammed went tumbling into the sea.